Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. College football world, sports world was taken by storm yesterday afternoon when Chris Lowe of ESPN broke the news that Nick Saban has decided to retire. And then the football world was then subsequently, about 12 hours later, taken by storm again when with the announcement that Bill Belichick has been fired in New England. But let's break down the first one. Nick Saban's retirement. Joining us to help break that down is Mitch Light of The Athletic. Mitch, normally we speak with you on Tuesdays. Have a little bit of breaking news around here of Mike Vrabel being fired on Tuesday, so appreciate you switching around your schedule and joining us today. First, I want to get your initial reaction on Nick Saban deciding to step away from Alabama and ultimately announcing his retirement.
Well, Caroline, I got to tell you, I mean, I had this. I know Chris Lowe broke it. I had it Tuesday afternoon, was all prepared to break the news on your show with you guys, and then I get bumped. So, you know.
Wow. That's on us.
That's on us.
I don't blame us, actually. I blame the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
I do blame Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Drunk.
Yes. Obviously surprised. I think everyone, not shocked, we knew this day would eventually come. With his age and all that, the timing was, you know, interesting. I guess he, you know, there's a lot of different reports out there. One is that he was, you know, interviewing prospective coaches up to the other day and going about his business. And then you talk to some people and some, you know, I was listening to a podcast with Bruce Feldman and Stu Mandel of The Athletic, my colleagues, and they were both saying they were at the Rose Bowl. They watched him. There were clues that this was going to be it for him. So, you know, who knows when Saban finally made that final decision. But I think we're all surprised. It is, I don't know about you guys, like I've been following college football for a long time and there's been shocking things and there's things like, I guess maybe like Texas and Oklahoma switching conferences or the Big Ten announcement might have been bigger, but I don't know. This might be the biggest college football news that like just based on social media and based on everyone's just like going, whoa, that we've seen in maybe 10, 20 years.
I think that it's the biggest indication of his impact on this sport is that this is the biggest coach news, I think, of my lifetime is Nick Saban, especially in the college football level, Nick Saban deciding to retire. And now opens up, I think, the most interesting and the most intriguing coaching search in a really long time, maybe ever, honestly, filling the shoes, the biggest shoes in the history of college football. We saw this morning Dan Lanning's name was very tightly associated with the opening at Alabama. There was a report coming out that he was in Tuscaloosa. I have heard that that report was not true. But now Dan Lanning's coming out and announced to his team that he is going to stay at Oregon. So Dan Lanning out of consideration to fill the Alabama opening. Who should it be, Mitch?
I think you framed it the right way, Caroline. I think it's, you know, one of the biggest coaching hires that we've seen. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember, you know, I grew up, my dad went to the University of Alabama, grew up an Alabama fan. I mean, I vaguely
tease
remember.
Tease and piece to your dad.
No comment. I was going to say something mean. I remember.
No, I mean because Nick Saban is retiring. That is what I mean.
Yes. Okay. I thought you just meant, you know, you're disparaging his diploma.
Oh no, absolutely not. My diploma is from LSU, Mitch. It's not necessarily the most distinguished university out there. I mean, because
no
of his coach.
No comment on that. I don't want to get in trouble. I vaguely remember Bear Bryant stepping down, retiring, and there's obviously a different time there. And, you know, Ray Perkins took over, and, you know, it did not go well. He's a former Alabama guy, you know, NFL coach, left the Giants and all that. It just tells you how difficult it is to follow a legend. I personally think it's going to be Mike Norvell. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think he's a very good coach. He's proven it over two different stops. He has proven that he can adapt to the college football landscape, obviously with the transfer portal and all that. I think Steve Sarkisian is an interesting, I don't know about you guys, my opinion of Steve Sarkisian has changed immensely in, you know, 3 or 4 years.
But Mitch, do you think he leaves Texas?
No, that's what I was going to say. Like, I think he might be my first choice, but I don't think he would leave Texas. I think Alabama's obviously had more success, so I'm not going to say it's a lateral job. But as far as potential from this point going forward, with Nick Saban not at Alabama, you can definitely argue Texas is a better job with the recruiting base and all that. So I don't think he would leave. I think he's got a great gig. There's slightly less pressure at Texas maybe than Alabama. So I think Mike Norvell's in that sweet spot where he is an attractive enough candidate to get Alabama fans excited. And he's a guy that would take the job. That's who I think it's ultimately going to be.
Now, with that being said, it here's another caveat to it. And I know Jim Harbaugh, there's been speculations that Jim may leave Michigan to go to the NFL.
Sure.
Do you think it would be best for the NCAA, college football, that Jim stays in Michigan? Because now you got Nick Saban has retired, who was the face of college football, so to speak. And then you got Kirby Smart's doing what he's doing in Georgia. Then you got Jim Harbaugh doing up north what hopefully people believe, you know, he can do what Saban has done in Alabama. So do you think it would be smart for the college world that Jim stays in Michigan? Considering what has happened.
I hadn't thought about it that way. At first thought I was going to agree with you, but then I think college football is immune to that. I don't think college basketball is immune to that. I think college basketball has been hurt by, you know, Jim Boeheim.
All these legendary coaches.
Right. And both sports are directed, led by the coaches, but college basketball are more the personalities in what people knew more, especially with the rosters, the transient rosters. So like people identified the sport with those coaches. I don't think football's quite there because I think football is just a more popular sport. So I see what you're saying, but it's sort of like all these other changes, Derek, where we say, oh man, I don't like the transfer portal, but you know what? When the ball kicks off on Saturday, we love it. Like, I don't think who's on the doesn't matter who's coaching. So I'll agree with the sport's more fun with characters and the big names, but I don't think it would really affect the big picture of the sport too much.
So now that Nick has retired, is Kirby the guy? Or is it Jim then Kirby?
I think it's Kirby Smart. I mean, you know, there was a stretch there a couple of years ago when we kind of said that Clemson and Dabo Swinney were at the top of the college football world and they'd won 2 of 3. And it's a what have you done for me lately? And I know Jim Harbaugh just won a title, but the fact that Kirby Smart has won 2 in a row and keeps recruiting at that level and will be a preseason number one. If I'm doing my pecking order, I would have Kirby Smart right now at the top of the college football world as far as best coaches out there. And you know, I might have said the same thing 2 days ago if you would ask me. He's been the only Saban disciple to enjoy that much success at that high a level. I mean, Lane Kiffin's doing pretty well at Ole Miss, but it's not quite the same thing there. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say right now you could put Kirby Smart at the top of the food chain.
We're talking with Mitch Leick of The Athletic discussing the retirement of Nick Saban. Now, we've talked about the job. It's a good job to take. Obviously, Alabama has all the resources that you need, all the money that you need. But, man, oh, man, whoever takes this job, Mitch, do you think Alabama fans are going to want championships, like, right away? Or should there be,
think?
Like – I know, but I just got to ask you because, to me – When you segue from
D-Base, they're exactly. very understanding
exactly.
of the situation.
When you segue from a guy that has been so successful and has been the face of this of the NCAA, the next guy that takes this job, you know, conventional wisdom would think like you got to give the man a little grace period, maybe a year or two to get things back in play. But I don't think Alabama fans are going to do that, which may in turn cause Alabama to do what they did sort of after Bear Bryant, continue to hire coach after coach after coach, trying to reclaim that once fame.
Right, then that's what I was going to say. I'm looking at College Football Reference now after Bear Bryant retired. Ray Perkins, 4 years, gone. Bill Curry, 3 years, gone. Then Gene Stallings had a good run, obviously won a national title. Mike DeBose, 4 years. Dennis Franchione had success but said, this isn't for me. Then Mike Shula, then Nick Saban. You know, it's a different era now. You know, the program's been – it's always been a great program, but it's just had the greatest run. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Like, the only college sports program almost that seems immune to any dips is Ohio State football.
Yeah.
Like, they have never not been good. And, you know, they've had some 8-4 years. John Cooper, they weren't, like, top five. But almost every other sport – every other program in any sport has struggled when the right coach isn't there. And with the landscape being what it is now, with Texas and Oklahoma coming in and everyone trying to win at such a high level, I think Alabama could dip. I mean, are we talking dip to a top 5, top 10 program, top 15? But if they, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking in 3 years and Alabama's coming off of 2 straight 9-3 seasons, just because it's so hard to win at such a consistent level. So, I mean, it's going to be a fascinating storyline over the next few years. But basically, to answer your question is, I'm not going to single out Alabama fans. Any fan base that's won at this level will not put up with, you know, anything other than competing for championships on an annual basis.
I see the SEC, other than Kirby Smart, I see the SEC coaches sort of like it was in boxing when Mike Tyson had to leave boxing and everybody was like, thank goodness, this guy is gone. Now we can try to win heavyweight championships. Maybe, just maybe, those that are in the SEC other than Kirby are thinking, thank goodness this man retired. So now we at least have an opportunity or a chance.
Kirby might even be thinking that too.
Yeah, I mean, right? It's going to make everyone's life easier. And there's no doubt. And here's something too, like, you know, I follow recruiting very closely. And if you look at the struggles of the programs in the state of Florida, I know Florida State's back. They coincided with about 6, 8, 10 years ago with Nick Saban and Alabama going into South Florida and dominating in recruiting. You can go back and look, and you can look maybe like the top 10 players in the state of Florida every year. Alabama was getting 2, 3, 4 of those guys, which in years past, those guys were going to Florida. Those guys were going to Florida State, Miami. So it's not just the SEC. It's just his ability to go in, and especially in the state of Florida, and recruit at such a high level affected so many other programs. Like, his tentacles hit everywhere. So, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he did not – I know NIL is a different era now, but he did not lose many recruiting battles when he really wanted a kid. So I think that's going to be interesting to watch too. You know, again, they're all set up for success, support, NIL, all this stuff at Alabama, but the next coach will not be Nick Saban. And so we'll just have to see how high, you know, what level he continues to recruit.
And that's what makes this such an intimidating job. Going back-to-back 9-3 seasons, I think there's a lot of fan bases in the SEC that would say, okay – cool. I think Alabama fans, the thought of back-to-back 9-3 seasons might make them want to throw up. But Mike Norvell, I think, is a very, very interesting name, because not only do I think that he's qualified to take on the job, I also think that he's looking possibly for an out of Florida State, that he's looking at the ACC the way that it's currently constructed, that they missed out on the college football playoff because of the conference that they play in, that they are about to miss out on millions of dollars that the Big Ten and the SEC are getting from their respective contracts. So I think that's an incredibly attractive opportunity for Mike Norvell. But another name that I've heard thrown out, Mitch, that I want your thoughts on, especially as, you know, a graduate from Vanderbilt, a follower of the program, James Franklin.
Jimmy Frank.
Anchor down.
He is, in my opinion, far too sensitive to be the head coach at Alabama. Now, he's at a program that's in a fishbowl. You know, it's a huge fan base, high expectations there. And I'm a James Franklin defender to a degree. I think he's done a good, very good job at Penn State. Hasn't done a great job when you can't beat your two biggest rivals on a consistent basis, or basically Ohio State other than one time. You can't say someone's done a great job. I think he would recruit at a very, very high level. That's one thing. I think he would maintain that. There's just too many other things. Like, he's gone through six offensive coordinators at Penn State, and sort of like, again, I think he's like a little too sensitive. If you look at him in post game press conference, he doesn't really take the blame very often. You know, Nick Saban will go up there and say, I didn't have him ready, I didn't coach him up well enough. You know, I think after the Ole Miss game, the bowl game, the Peach Bowl, like, the first thing he says, he's complaining about a pass interference call in the first quarter. Like, just don't do that. Like, post game. So I just don't think he would handle the pressures of that job very well. So I think he's a good coach. I don't know if he's a great coach. He's a great recruiter. I would not hire him if I were Alabama.
I hear the argument of, well, imagine what he could do with more resources, more money. It's Penn State. It's not like he's working with money, some rinky-dink program. But I know Mitch Light a lot. Mitch Light is with us of The Athletic. A lot of fan bases in the SEC are now rejoicing now that Nick Saban is gone, looking at some of the domino effects of the transfer portal, or maybe pulling some commitments from Alabama's 2024 class. So if you're a program like Tennessee, what does this mean for Vols fans now that Nick Saban has decided to step away from Alabama?
Well, I think you'd put Tennessee in that short list of the schools that it could impact the most. I believe they're staying on as a rival in the new scheduling format. They play them every year. They recruit against them. So I think probably LSU, Tennessee, and Texas A&M maybe, and then Texas, I guess, you know, some of the schools that kind of think they're in that or want to be in that very, very top tier that will kind of help them the most. So I think it's a good day for Tennessee football when Nick Saban steps down. There's still so much competition out there for players and coaches, and look what happened with LSU this week, hiring coaches away from conference rivals, and the dollar speaks, and LSU's got a lot of them, Alabama has a lot of them, but Tennessee has a lot of them too. So again, I think it's a good day for Tennessee football.
Now, with that being said, let's sort of segue out of it just for a quick second.
Sure.
Florida State, and we know that Florida State, or many know that Florida State would love to get out of the ACC, but it's going to cost. I think I saw the number somewhere, and it could have been wrong, but it was $500 million for them to get out of their contract. Now, that may have been a little bit too far in regards to the number, but do you think there will be ever a resolution in regards to Florida State? Do you think they will be in a position to get out of the ACC, or will they have to sort of bite the bullet, continue to stay with the ACC, and when they get a chance after the contract is up, then they can get out?
Yeah, I think they're past the point of no return. Mm-hmm. I don't follow this as closely as some of my colleagues do, so I can't confirm the money. I know that it's outrageous, but I think with what happened with the legal the lawyers involved with the ACC right after the regular season, suing back and forth, I think they're past the point of no return. The interesting thing is where do they go? I mean, it seems like they would have a destination in place if they were making this move. I don't think it's going to be the SEC. Could it be the Big Ten? Perhaps. But just think how much, we're talking about Mike Norvell earlier. Like, two plays this year, changed the landscape of college football so much. Jordan Travis getting hurt, and Alabama converting the fourth down play against Auburn. Mm-hmm. If neither of those happen, then the playoff's different. Nick Saban probably still retires, but Florida State goes to the playoff. They might win a national championship, whatever. They don't stew the ACC afterwards because they're not blaming getting the snub on the ACC. And then maybe Mike Norvell's not, if he wins the national championship, he's not even a candidate for Alabama. So it's crazy how stuff works. But Derek, to answer your question, I can't give a timetable, mm-hmm. but I do think that it's going to happen at some point where Florida State will not be in the ACC.
Mitch Light, appreciate you, and also appreciate you kind of mixing things up a little bit this week. We'll chat with you next week.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it, Mitch. You too. All right, coming up next, we'll deep dive back into Diana Russini and Joe Rexroad's report, a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of what went wrong with Mike Vrabel. Our thoughts on that, and of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie DeMace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.